Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Stripe Live, and it's 6:22. Simon Marks joins us on the line from Washington. Very pleased to have you back, Simon. I must say, not having spoken to you for nearly 5 weeks, I'm deficient in some ways.
I'm very glad you're back as well. I've been in the land of enchantment. Do you know where that is?
I would like to hazard a guess, but this is a family show.
New Mexico. I spent last week in New Mexico, and I can confirm it is indeed the land of enchantment. It was a last-minute decision to go, and we had an absolutely stunningly good time. Remarkable place to visit if you're ever in the neighborhood.
The neighborhood of Breaking Bad, I believe, New Mexico. Is that
it is indeed, yes. An enormous amount of Breaking Bad memorabilia on display, and in Albuquerque you can even do the Breaking Bad tour. We didn't do that. We spent most of our time climbing mountains and seeing beautiful nature and things like that. But Breaking Bad paraphernalia, for want of a better word, is everywhere.
More tourist tips from Simon Marks next week at 6:20.
Yes. Thanks very much. It's been fun.
Why, Simon, let's start here. The U.S. Navy ships keep colliding with merchant vessels. The USS John McCain, of course, is in question.
Well, here's something that is definitely not fun. I have to say, when I got back over the weekend and read news of this collision between the USS John McCain and this absolutely massive oil and chemical tanker in the Straits of Singapore, I actually thought I was reading an old news story, because, of course, there'd been another collision off the coast of Tokyo just a few weeks ago. But in fact, no, this was yet another massive problem for the U.S. Navy and for the Seventh Fleet, and a tragedy for the families of some of those on board the USS John McCain. There are still officially 10 sailors listed as missing. A search and rescue operation has been taking place in the waters off Singapore. The USS John McCain, a destroyer like the other US Navy ships that have collided over the last 14 months. There have been four of them in all, equipped with some of the world's most advanced radar, some of its most sophisticated navigational equipment. So how on earth do these U.S. Navy ships keep colliding with merchant vessels, causing a loss of life to the U.S. Navy? There's obviously going to be another massive inquiry into what happened to the USS John McCain. It will be beginning just days after disciplinary action was announced against the commander and several crew members on board the USS Fitzgerald, which was involved in the last collision. Navy experts are saying you just have to wait for investigators to come to grips with all of this. They'll be poring over the recordings of conversations that were taking place on the bridge at the time. But unlike the last collision, this didn't happen in the dead of night. It happened at around 6:30 in the morning. The ship would have been up and about. The crew would have been preparing for breakfast. It presumably happened at least in dawn light, if not in daylight. And so there are all sorts of very problematic questions for the U.S. Navy, and questions that, frankly, raise issues about just how battle-ready particularly the Seventh Fleet now is, given that it's got two warships that are undergoing massive repairs.
And Simon, if we can talk about someone else who's just returned from holiday, not you two, President Trump's 17-day working holiday in New Jersey, perhaps why he's grumpy, or is it closer to the mark that he's a bit upset over the whole furore with Stephen Bannon?
Well, Natalie, we are told that he's come back in a dreadful mood. I don't know how Tim came back from his holiday, but I came back from mine in a very good mood. But Donald Trump apparently has... Yeah, exactly. But Donald Trump has apparently not been benefited by 17 days kind of off, although he never seems to be really off. All the reports last night indicated that he came back in an absolutely dreadful mood, still reacting, of course, to the loss of his sort of ideological grey cardinal, Stephen Bannon, who was forced out of the White House late last week following action by the new White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly, in tandem with Donald Trump's daughter, Ivanka, and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Stephen Bannon has gone straight back to the helm of Breitbart News, the right-wing news organization, where he hatched many of the ideas that he brought to Donald Trump's election campaign. And I think it remains to be seen whether Stephen Bannon is more dangerous to Republican moderates who are really hoping to try and see Donald Trump get his administration back on track. Is Stephen Bannon more dangerous to them outside the White House than he was inside it? I think we're going to have to wait and see.
We have a presidential change of subject, do we not, Simon? A televised address on Afghanistan. What's expected to be announced?
Well, look, I think this is a big attempt by Donald Trump to change the subject, because remember that last week was not only dominated by the firing of Stephen Bannon, it was also dominated by the completely self-inflicted, almost kamikaze assault by President Trump revolving around the Charlottesville protests by white supremacist groups and also by anti-fascist organizations. So tonight, Donald Trump goes on television here to talk all about Afghanistan. He apparently has reviewed the various options that have been presented to him by the military, and he, we believe, will announce tonight that he's going to deploy between 3,500 and 5,000 additional troops to Afghanistan in a bid to try and bring American involvement in Afghanistan to an end. But that is precisely the opposite of what Donald Trump promised to do on the election campaign trail. It is exactly what his more conservative followers, people like Stephen Bannon, want him to do. They absolutely don't want him getting America more deeply involved in Afghanistan. And there is already a critique being advanced by those on the right that Donald Trump is now captive to the generals that are surrounding him. General John Kelly, his chief of staff, General James Mattis, the defense secretary, General H.R. McMaster, the national security advisor. And this is dangerous terrain for Donald Trump to be wandering across, because about the only thing he's still got going for him, in fact, literally the only thing he's still got going for him, is the support of those people to the far right of the political spectrum here. And if he runs the risk of losing that support by reneging, for instance, on the pledges that he made over troop levels in Afghanistan, you could see his approval ratings slide even further.
And just lastly, I'm on the NASA website at the moment. There's a countdown, an hour and 40 minutes till the first contact of the solar eclipse in Oregon. America's excited about this.
Oh, America is, I mean, I tell you, I was in a national park last week in the aforementioned New Mexico, and we were taking a look around the visitor center and grabbing some trail maps and things like that, and the phones were ringing off the hook with people saying, have you got any eclipse glasses? And they said, no, we've run out. Eclipse glasses have become the new rationed phenomenon here in here in the United States. The national parks have been filled with people over the last several days because, of course, they're a terrific place to see the eclipse. You're right out in the middle of the countryside. There's no artificial light that can in any way deflect from the experience of seeing the eclipse. But even here in the big cities like Washington, D.C., New York, L.A., Denver, across the country, those of us who are lucky enough to have eclipse glasses, and we managed to snag a few here in Washington, we'll be heading outside at 2:42 this afternoon, at least here in Washington, to see something that no one has seen for 38 years in the United States, and they won't see again for another 38 years.
Since Jimmy Carter was president, I believe, Simon.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. The folks over at ABC News, you know, they're, at the time, their anchorman on television was a man by the name of Frank Reynolds, and he promised the audience 38 years ago that ABC would have full coverage of the eclipse in 38 years' time, and they've been making tremendous use of that that promo in their advertising materials to tell everybody to tune in to ABC because they made this promise 38 years ago. So it's all fun and games. I mean, there is, of course, the serious scientific aspect to all of this. You know, just to be vaguely political for a second, it is interesting that the Trump administration is not in any way using this as an opportunity to teach a kind of national science lesson. The president said absolutely nothing about the solar eclipse. Don't think we know whether he's going to be viewing it or not, whether he managed to get himself a pair of eclipse glasses, but he doesn't seem to be particularly interested in it.
One favour to ask you, just tweet us a picture of you in your eclipse glasses.
Me and my eclipse glasses.
Yeah.
I'll do it right after I get off the air. How
Brilliant.
About that?
At Simon Marks FSN. Is that right? Is that your Twitter?
That's the one.
That's your handle. Simon, great to talk to you. Appreciate it.